Hi, this is Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, telling you to stay tuned to WNJC 1360 AM for Thursday in the Doghouse, coming right up.
Mama was a mutt, Daddy was one too. Me, I'm a little bit of everything, everything that I use. One day I'm walking down my block.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to Thursday in the Doghouse. I'm your host, Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer. My co-host, Karen Fazio, wasn't able to join us this morning, but she'll be back next week. You might already be aware that Thursday in the Doghouse is a 30-minute radio show devoted to the subject of dogs. You can listen to us every week right here on WNJC, 1360 AM, from 10 to 10:30. Many times, Karen and I interview experts in this field. Just recently, we talked to Dr. Arthur Young, who is a holistic veterinarian located in Mount Laurel, New Jersey. He's always very interesting to talk to. Dr. Young explains that veterinary medicine doesn't have to be about vaccines and prescription medications. We've talked to a lot of authors lately, too. One of my favorite shows was when we interviewed Maria Goodavage, who wrote a fantastic book called Soldier Dogs. I read that book, and really, I loved it. Maria told the story of America's canine heroes who lived to protect and save the lives of our warriors, both in Afghanistan and also when we were fighting in Iraq. Her story was nothing less than amazing. We interviewed another author by the name of Sue Belanda, who wrote Faithful Friends. This is a book about all the pets, both dogs and cats, who belonged to Holocaust survivors. These pets suffered greatly during that time period, but when you read the heartwarming stories told by the survivors, you'll learn just how important those dogs and cats were to their human family and how loyal the pets were who really waited for their return from concentration camps. We've also talked to other professional dog trainers throughout the United States and Europe. And Karen and I share our methods, and we talk to trainers to get other ideas on how to solve behavior problems. I can honestly tell you that if you listen to Thursday in the Doghouse on a regular basis, you'll become a very well-informed pet parent. If you're a first-time listener and you haven't been able to hear too many shows, you can always visit my website to listen to as many of them as you want by clicking on the podcast links listed there by subject under the page marked Rini's Radio Show. My website is www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Karen also has those podcasts listed on her website, and you can go to www.thedogsupernanny.com. Today I'm asking you to keep me company while I sit in this studio all by myself. I would love to talk to anyone who calls into the station this morning. You want to talk to me about your dogs, if you have a problem with their behavior, or if you have a question in general, I'd love to be able to share my ideas with you. But I have a question to ask you. How do your dogs fit into your life? Do you consider them to be your children? Do you consider your dogs to be your protectors? Do you consider your dogs to be your friends? Or do you look at them as though they are just a dog? Our number to call is 856-227-1360. That number again is 856-227-1360. 1360. We're going to take a very short break, and then when we come back, we'll talk more about our favorite companion pet, the dog. Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Welcome back to Thursday in the Doghouse. I'm your host, Rini Premeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer. Before we took our break, I asked listeners to call me this morning to talk about how they feel that their dogs fit into their lives. Are they your friends? Are they your closest companions? Do you require them to protect you? How many of you live with assistance dogs, and what services do they provide for you or other members of your household? Come on, give me a call at 856-227-1360. That's 856-227-1360. I would love to hear from you this morning. A few weeks ago, I was listening to another talk show on the radio. It was a New Jersey station, and they were asking listeners how much money they would spend to on their dog's health care. If the dog got sick or needed surgery or if the dog got cancer, they wanted to know just how much money owners would spend on their dogs. Some of the figures that the callers quoted were astronomical. I was even shocked. But their dogs meant the world to them. The hosts of this show were so amazed that people would spend a lot of money on any dog, because in their opinion, it's just a dog. I wanted to call them so badly, but I couldn't get through. But their attitude was so, like, what are these people all about? What is wrong with them? That's how they were talking about how the owners who were calling were telling them just how important these animals were in their lives. One woman, I think she spent $50,000 on her dog because her dog had cancer, and she felt that, you know, if she would do it again, that's how loyal she was to her dog. You know, we can't always afford that kind of expense, and for some people, unfortunately, there may be a line where you say, you know, I just can't afford to do any more, and then they're forced to euthanize the dog. But certainly, why would you put people down because they have such a great affection and loyalty to their dogs? That's why they have dogs. They're their best friends. I know some people just aren't into pets. I also know that some people get very angry that people consider their pets as children and can't believe that we place so much importance on our dogs. But anyway, when I heard them say that this is just a dog, I wanted to scream. So let's look at what dogs provide us with for just a minute. I'm sure you've heard that dogs can lower our blood pressure. They just make us feel peaceful. And like Pat, my producer here, he said that, you know, you can't help but smile a lot of times when you have a dog. Our dog makes us laugh all the time. They get us out and about, and they help us meet other people. We take them for walks through the neighborhood, and we see our neighbors or we see other people walking dogs, and they help us socialize while we're helping them socialize. We take them to the dog park, which can be a good thing and it can be a bad thing. Dogs provide services and assistance to the elderly, the blind or disabled. Dogs can detect cancer. Dogs can alert diabetics to get a snack before their blood glucose levels drop. They sense a change in their human's body chemistry in order to do this. Some dogs have an innate ability to sense when someone's about to have a seizure. But in order to perform such service, the bond between the dog and the person needs to be super strong. Dogs are helping our wounded warriors who are coming home with PTSD. That's post-traumatic stress disorder. There's lots of organizations popping up now who are helping warriors adopt rescue dogs to help them get over their post-traumatic stress disorder. And I think that's wonderful. Dogs provide services to our soldiers by sniffing out IEDs, where they're protecting them from enemy attackers. Now we're hearing stories about the soldier dogs who are also suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. You know, when these dogs are overseas and they're doing this type of military work, people don't realize, because we don't hear about it often enough, that these dogs are very badly injured very often. They lose their limbs just like our soldiers do. You know, they get blown up when they are sniffing out these IEDs, and then if they touch something wrong or the bomb goes off, it's horrible, horrible injuries and, of course, death. Dogs are used in search and rescue when disasters like 9/11 or storms like hurricanes and tornadoes strike. Remember Hurricane Katrina? There were lots of dogs helping to find survivors at that site. Dogs can help autistic children by helping to give them confidence at home as well as in school. I've worked with many autistic children who adopted dogs or purchased specific dogs to bring into the home to be companions for autistic children. They help calm the child. They help give them focus. And these dogs are allowed to go to school if the dog is well-trained in obedience and can lie there quietly and accept the other children to go there, to go over to them and pet them. These dogs are wonderful. Many dogs are trained as therapy dogs and can do a variety of helpful activities. They visit the elderly and make them feel peaceful and calm and good, and they provide comfort to hospitalized children. There are programs in prison facilities where the inmates are taught how to train service dogs. The prisoners get these dogs to train as puppies, and they train them, learn how to do things for the disabled. They teach them how to, bring things to the person. And this activity and this job helps the prisoners gain self-confidence and gives them an outlet to make them feel proud of themselves. So it's a win-win situation. I'm sure I've left some things out of this list, but one thing is certain. Dogs are not just dogs. Our lines are open. Give us a call and let us know how your dogs fit into your lives, if they provide a service, or if you seem to get a specific benefit out of what they're doing for you. Please give us a call at 856-227-1360. I'm also here if you want to give me a call and talk to me about a problem that you might be having with your dog's behavior. That's what I do every day, all day, is helping people to resolve issues. That number again is 856-227-1360. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you the owner of a fearful or aggressive dog and don't know where to turn? Have you called other trainers and they've turned you down because they don't want to deal with an aggression case? Then My Best Friend Dog Training and its special service, the Dog Super Nanny, is maybe just what you're looking for. We do in-home private consultations. We're located in Keyport, New Jersey, and we do travel. Our phone number is 732-533-9376, and our website is mybestfrienddogschool.com. We are positive-based trainers and don't use physical punishment or fear as a way to motivate your dog. We use games and fun as a way to do that, and we also help you during the whole process. So give us a call. We're here for you. 732-533-9376.
Welcome back to Thursday in the Doghouse. I'm your host, Rini Premeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer. We've been talking about how dogs provide therapy and assistance to many people. I thought I'd talk to you a little bit today about an organization called Therapy Dogs International. You know, I get a lot of calls from people who have a puppy, and I'll ask them what their goals in training are, even though I know what their goals should be as a trainer. But many people tell me that they want their dog to become a therapy dog or a service dog, and that's a wonderful goal to have. But you have a lot of work ahead of you if you do have that goal. And somebody called me yesterday who has like an 8.5-week-old puppy, and this is what her goal is. But there are a lot of requirements for dogs if you're going to put them in that venue. They have to be extremely well-behaved. They have to be trained in obedience. They have to learn to sit and lie down and stay and come when called. So a lot of times people will ask me to test their dog before they've had any training. And I've gotten to a point over the last 12 years that I've been doing this that I won't test a dog unless I have proof that the dog has had some obedience training at least, because it sets the dog and the owner up for failure. If you think that you have a dog that would be a good therapy dog, but you haven't even taken a class, you're going to wind up being very disappointed. These tests are not that easy. So let me tell you a little bit about Therapy Dogs International, and then I'm going to talk to you about what the required behaviors are, at least 10 of them, if your dog were to become a therapy dog. So Therapy Dogs International is a volunteer organization dedicated to regulating, testing, and registration of therapy dogs and their volunteer handlers for the purpose of visiting nursing homes, hospitals, and other institutions wherever else therapy dogs are needed. Therapy Dogs International registers all breeds of dogs. Some dogs have pedigrees, while others have been adopted from local shelters or rescue organizations. They have volunteer dogs and their handlers in all 50 states, and as well as in Canada. The requirements for joining TDI, they have to belong to Therapy Dogs International. And again, all dogs must be tested and evaluated by a certified TDI evaluator. The dog must be a minimum of a year old and have a sound temperament. That means that your dog can't show any shyness or fearfulness. He has to be very well socialized and friendly to people, all people. People are different, you know. We have white people, black people. We have men, women, children, men who have beards, you know, every possible person, even your mailman, we want your dog to be friendly with. And they have to be very accepting of other dogs, too. So part of the test is actually the American Kennel Club's Canine Good Citizen test. Now, I do CGC classes, Canine Good Citizen classes, and that is an approved class, and the program, it was created by the American Kennel Club. The test will also include the evaluation of the dog's behavior around people with the use of some type of equipment, and usually TDI will put wheelchairs out or crutches or have somebody walking around the room who may be handicapped or seems to be handicapped to make sure that the dog is perfectly okay with that and can remain calm. They require that the dog be continuously updated with a health record form that has to be completed and signed by a licensed veterinarian. If you guys have any goals to join Therapy Dogs International, you can contact them by mailing them something at 88 Bartley Road, Bartley Road in Flanders, New Jersey, 07836. Their telephone number is area code 973-252-9800. Or you can email them at TDI, that's TDI, like Therapy Dogs International, at GTI, gti@gti.net. So that's TDI@gti.net. So here are some of the programs that therapy dogs, certified therapy dogs, can participate in. One of my favorite ones is that these dogs can go to libraries, which are often very quiet places where both children and adults can do research on a topic, or they can do a school project there. But when the adults visit a library and see a dog, the environment may become just a little more exciting. What happens is the dogs can be at the library and the children are invited to read stories to the dog. And so it's a lovely, lovely activity to do. And so you know these dogs are very calm. They if they're in the library and there's children there, they have to love children and be very accepting of what children do, which can be a lot of petting, a lot of touching. We can't have any kind of skittish dog working around children or the elderly or the disabled. TDI dogs are often doing hospice work, which provides a wonderful opportunity to share time with individuals who are in their final stages of life. Dogs are accepted into the hospice program if the people are terminally ill and have less than 6 months to live. They're often placed in a nursing home setting, but some do live at home. So the dogs are make a tremendous difference in the hospice program by providing comfort, love, and companionship. The goal is to enrich the quality of life for the hospice patient and often their families as well. People find comfort in touching dogs, in feeling the fur under their hands. Sometimes these people have had dogs before and maybe haven't had a dog in a long time. I know that if that was me, I think I would feel so wonderful just to be able to be in the company of a dog again. Let's see what other services they offer. I'm listening here. I have my information here, so hold on a minute. They can go to assisted living centers. I have an uncle in an assisted living center, and these people are actually allowed to have their dogs in their rooms with them. I would imagine there's a size requirement. Most of the dogs that I saw in the assisted living center were the smaller breeds, you know, like dogs that are under 25 pounds. So that provides comfort to the people who are in these centers, and it gives them a feeling that they are definitely home because they have their dogs with them. Let's see what else. I'm reading through TDI information here. There's shelters for children, and TDI dogs go and visit the children in the shelter. And I was reading a little bit of a blurb here about a teenage boy who asked a volunteer, why do you bring your dog here? As he was petting the therapy dog with both hands. And the handler asked him, how do you feel when you pet my dog? And the boy smiled, and he said, I feel good. And the owner said, well, that's exactly why we come. So this is a great, great opportunity to work with your dog and to give your dog a wonderful activity to do. So let me give you a description of what the Canine Good Citizen Program is and tell you what the behaviors are that you're going to need to train your dog for. And these are only the basic 10. And remember, when you get a CGC certificate, it does not certify your dog as a therapy dog or a service dog. What a Canine Good Citizen certificate does, it provides the dog with an award for good behavior. But those are the behaviors that go further in the harder work if your dog is going to become certified. So the Canine Good Citizen Test, here are the 10 behaviors that your dog will need to learn. The first one is accepting a friendly stranger. So you and your dog are sitting at a station or standing at a station, and somebody that your dog has never seen before approaches the dog and the handler. The dog must remain in a sit stay while the handler and the evaluator shake hands And they exchange a few pleasantries, and the dog cannot show any shyness or fearfulness and must not attempt to break that sit-stay or down-stay position. If he does, then he'll have failed that one behavior. The dog must sit politely for petting, so the evaluator will approach the dog, ask the owner if he can pet the dog, and then he pets the dog all over the dog's body. The dog must be able to accept that, and he can stand for petting, but he can't jump up. If he jumps up, uh-oh, you failed that behavior. Appearance and grooming. This shows that the dog is well-groomed, looks healthy, is not obese. If your dog is overweight, he won't even be accepted to take the test. It demonstrates that the dog will welcome being groomed and examined and will permit someone, such as a veterinarian, a groomer, or a friend of the owner, to brush the dog. We do an ear exam. We make sure the dog is comfortable with that. And we also pick up one front paw and then another front paw. The dog cannot put his mouth on the hand of the evaluator who is lifting up these paws. Can't happen. With my personal experience, even though a dog could go through 8 weeks of training, the dog may have had a slight issue in the beginning, and during class the dog gets much better at having his paws picked up, but because the test puts a lot of pressure on the dog when he's in there, he may then turn around and snap at or put his mouth on the evaluator. That's really sad when that happens, and I've seen it several times. Dog has to be able to walk on a loose leash, not pull. Walk nicely on a collar, can't wear any kind of corrective harness or collar, has to be on a regular collar or just a regular body harness, no pulling. Dog must sit and down on command and must remain in a stay until the owner releases him, and the dog must prove to the evaluator that the dog can come when called. The hardest part, well, there's two hard ones. One that I think is the hardest behavior of all is when a dog and a handler approach another dog and a handler. The two humans shake hands while the dogs remain calm. The dogs can air sniff each other, but they can't cut in front of the owner or behind the owner. And then when the two handlers walk away, the dog cannot try to pull to go behind the owner or to go to the other dog. And that's a hard one. That takes almost the whole 8 weeks to train. Dog has to be able to accept loud noises. One of the distractions that we produce is a metal chair, and from a distance of, I believe it's 10 feet away, we drop that chair on the ground. If the dog startles, we have to be able to see that he recovers quickly. In 12 years, I've had one dog who startled so bad that he couldn't even come back to class, which was really sad, but, you have to test for that. And supervised separation. If your dog has any separation anxiety issues, you're going to have to train this dog really hard to allow you to leave the room for a total of 3 minutes. The dog sits there with the handler. The handler can pet the dog. He can talk to the dog. The dog's not totally alone. But remember, the dog doesn't know the evaluator because he's not met the evaluator before. So hopefully he'll sit there comfortably, and you have to leave the room, and you can't come back for 3 solid minutes. So that takes a lot of training at home as well as in your class. So I hope that you have some goals for your dogs, and I hope that you've enjoyed this program. I'm sorry that nobody called, so maybe some other time we'll talk about this, and you'll tell me what your dogs mean to you and how they fit into your lives. I hope that you don't consider your dog to be just a dog. I don't consider any dog to be just a dog. I think that they're wonderful animals, and for over 10,000 years they've been helping humans. And they hunt for us. They do many, many things for us, and I hope I always have a dog. So I hope that you get out. Today's a little hot, so be careful about walking your dog. I would suggest that if you haven't walked your dog early this morning, do not walk him or put him in a car for any length of time. That's very important. You know, I've gone to the supermarket, and I've gone back to the courtesy desk and had people paged because I see dogs in the car at the supermarket with only the windows cracked, and it's a day like today, which is ungodly hot. So don't do that. And if you're going to walk your dog today, make sure it's after the sun goes down. Okay, hope you have a great week, and listen to Thursday in the Doghouse next Thursday morning from 10 to 10:30 right here on WNJC 1360 AM. Talk to you later.
I'm glad you're home, but where you been? Since 2 o'clock, I've been holding it in. Grab the leash, let's go chop chop. If I don't get out soon, the court's gonna pop. Twist and shout. Go out. Now I'd love to stay and talk, of course. But I really need to see a man about a horse. Grab the leash, let's hit.